Welcome to Larry Greeney's America. Tonight, Steve Ollier is our guest. And Steve is a retired teacher from Batesville High School. Also a co-member of our Whiskey and Beer podcast. And Steve works at my favorite candy store, Batesville Liquor Company. So, Steve, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
Since this isn't all local, where were you born, grade school, high school? And I'll ask a couple questions.
Yeah, born here. Being a good Catholic kid, went to St. Louis School, graduated from there, went to Batesville High School. From there, went on to Marion College for a while, and then to Ball State. Graduated from Ball State, worked a while, and then went back to Ball State for a few more degrees.
So. Okay, now, when you were grade school, high school, were you thinking about being a teacher?
No, I was actually thinking about being a priest.
Wait a minute.
Does that shock you?
That's a big one.
Well, I actually met my wife. She was doing a confirmation retreat that I was working at during the day. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I never gave that a thought about being a priest.
That's... Well, my dad did too. My dad went to seminary up in Cincinnati, and he ended up going to the Navy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Learn something new every day. So, that'd be a neat subject to bring up when we do our whiskey and beer.
No, I was actually working for Hillrom when I started coaching. First, Melvin Seifert got me to coach basketball, and then from there, I coached football with Eric Kepner. I liked really being around the kids, coaching and stuff, so I went back to school to become a teacher.
Okay, well, why did you switch from Marion to Ball State?
Marion was a little small.
Yeah.
I needed something bigger. When I went to Marion, too, I was started out pre-med, and the chemistry classes just kind of kicked my butt, and I needed a fresh start.
Well, you know, funny thing, Donna and Rich, you know, son and daughter, both graduated from Marion. And Julie and Laura went to IU. And I remember Laura telling me one time that her class was, the one class was in an auditorium, and she never met the professor, some guy that had a very strong foreign accent, was actually lecturing them in this auditorium. So one time I was talking to Donna, and I said, how's all of everything going? She said, I had a little problem with, I forget what class, but I talked to the professor after class. I said, geez, how'd you manage that? He said, well, there's only three in this class.
Marion classes are real small, especially the pre-med I was in. There was only like four or five people in most classes.
Yeah. Wow.
But I absolutely love Ball State. Both my kids graduated from Ball State. My wife went to Ball State. It's just...
Well, one of my kids said they were going to go to Ball State. And I said, I think that's even more of a party school than IU. And so he wound up going to Marion.
Actually, the biggest party school I went to was Marion.
Come on.
Oh, no, man. We had some great parties there.
Wow. Did you find enough students to have parties?
Oh, yeah. There was some. Yeah, the dorm life was fun.
Yeah. Well, I know Don and Rich, they both enjoyed it. That was great school. Yeah. And actually, Rich went on to get his master's, and Donna's got a terrific job.
Nice. Yeah, it's good school. I just needed something bigger.
But you went back to get other classes at Marion after Ball State.
No.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Once I left Marion, I was done. Everything I've got is from Ball State.
Oh, everything's
from Ball State. Yeah, I got my first degree from Ball State, and then went back later to get my teaching degree, because my first degree's in business. Well, I got a general studies, I got a business, a whole lot of stuff.
Okay,
and then I went back to get my teaching degree. From there, I went and worked on my master's and got some other degrees as well. So.
Okay. So, what, you did get master's at Ball State?
No, I when I left teaching, I was short of my master's.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So, when you had, to get your teaching degree, or was it just certain classes that you had to pick up, or did you actually have another year of school?
It was a full year. I drove back and forth to Ball State every day from Batesville. Back. I was still working at Hill-Rom, but they moved me out to Jawaukta. So I would get up like at 4:30 in the morning, drive to school, go to classes, drive to Jawaukta, get home about 1, rinse and repeat. It was...
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't teach all that long, really. I coached for 25 years total. But
How long did you teach?
Just a few years. I subbed for quite a while and then taught for a couple of years, and then went back to Hill-Rom, got an offer I couldn't refuse.
Yeah, yeah. And what did you do in Hill-Rom?
What I ended up doing was sales training.
Sales training.
I would train all of our new salesmen. I'd go out and train existing salesmen, new product. Did a lot of traveling.
Mm-hmm. So. That was neat.
I enjoyed it. Yeah.
And how many years at Hill-Rom?
Just totaled like 6 years.
6 years.
Yeah. And then my wife and I actually had an accounting business for a while. I went to work for the Rippies for a while. Same kind of thing, selling and training people on the covers and things. Yeah.
I haven't talked to Bruce in years, but years ago I met him. His dad was president of Provident Bank.
Uh-huh.
And he was a loan officer downtown area, and I was in business in Cincinnati, and we met then. He's really a nice guy. His dad was a super guy, too.
Oh, yeah. I really like his dad, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I don't know if they, I think Bruce might remember me, but I don't think his dad was.
Yeah.
Good people, and you know, and Linder owned Provident Bank at the time, and which everybody said, I knew a few people that were in the inner circle of Linder, and he'd come in once in a while on a Friday and he said, anybody want to go to lunch? So a bunch of people go, get on a plane, fly to Chicago for lunch. But he'd have all these big parties, annual parties for us, but there never any liquor.
Really?
Yeah, he was an orange juice guy. Yeah. He was teetotaler.
Wow. Yeah. So. Well, food's good enough. I don't care.
Yeah. And you know, Carl Linder, funny little story, just years ago, a friend of mine, his name was Bob Williams. He had a car dealership. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I got a call one day, and he says, and I had this neat little Mercedes. Nancy just loved that car. So... he said, I'm going to come out and I want to show you something. So I went out there, and he had a 74.5 Rolls-Royce long wheelbase. It had 2,000 miles on it. It was 1975, I think. Maybe it was 76. I can't remember. He said, I'm going to make you a deal on this Rolls. I said, I want that damn Rolls. He says, I'm going to really make you a deal. He said, this is the middle of the winter. And he said, I want to show you something, you'll get good use out of this. So he shows me this. At the time, the most expensive Rolls they had was a Cornish convertible, and it had a ding in the bumper, a bad one, on shipping. Carl Linder's car. And Linder came out. He says, get me another one. He said, no, we're going to replace a bumper. He said, I don't care what you do. Get me one that wasn't wrecked. So he stuck with this in the middle of the winter. You know, people weren't buying convertibles, especially one that expensive. So anyway, he said, I'll give you retail for your Mercedes, which was damn near as much as I paid for it. And he says, and I'm going to sell this to you for less than I got in it. So I wound up with a Rolls Royce that I kept for 2 years and sold it to Sam Chesley and made $5,000 on it. but anyway, how long did you have an accounting business?
A few years. I enjoyed it. Most people say they can't work with their spouse, but my wife and I worked real well together, and we really enjoyed it.
Were you public accountant or CPA? Or?
No, she's an accountant. I did a lot of bookworking stuff for her. Yeah. So one of my degrees is in accounting. So.
Okay, so she's the accountant.
Yeah.
Does she still dabble or anything?
No, she works, she's an accountant now for somebody else.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So. Wow. So No problem with taxes? Huh?
No. I get an allowance every Saturday. I've never seen a W-2. I have no idea what's going on. So, but she does a great job. So
yeah.
That's all that matters.
We use Donna's accounting firm in Indy, and they were bought out by a really large company. And they had, there's 300 people, and she's the HR director for 20 years or so. But, you know, big difference now, and everybody, all the partners and everything, it's a big change because now they're all part of this really, really large company. Mm-hmm. But I think it's for the best.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Maybe she'll have less work to do in the future, I hope, because she's really, night
stress.
And day. So,
yeah.
So, okay. So anyway, after the accounting, what did you do?
Well, that's went back to Hill-Rom for a while. That's what I did after that. I worked for the Rippies. We actually moved from Batesville for a while, went up to Carmel. And I worked for a group home with a hospital.
Really?
Ran a group home for girls who were being trafficked and other kids that were in crisis. So,
What made you decide to go to Carmel?
We just wanted to get out of town for a while.
Really?
And that seemed like a good place to go because it's quiet.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's almost like a small town.
Yeah.
You know, we've both been in Batesville our whole lives and decided it was time to explore something else for a while.
Yeah. So how long did you stay there?
3 years. And then she got an offer to come back home. So we did.
Okay.
Yeah, plus, both parents were in ill health. So
yeah,
wanted to come home and take care of them and be closer to them for a while.
Your dad beat
cancer, beat heart problems.
I can't remember. Is your mom still alive?
No, she died last year.
I thought she did. Yeah. Can't remember.
Yeah.
That's that old age memory creeping in on me.
Well, but, I've already got that going on. So.
So is your dad? I haven't seen him at Mass in a while.
He's out at St. Andrews.
Is he?
So yeah, and then eating well. He's looking much better.
I was going to say, because, boy, he
mind
was
seems
really
better.
Thin.
Oh, he lost a ton of weight after this, what's going on. So, but now he looks really good now.
Is he used to that situation?
I think so. In the beginning, he really didn't care much for it, but I think he's really kind of grown into it, and he sure does like eating. So.
Yeah, well, and they have happy hour out there once in a while.
Yeah, and they go... do a lot of trips and stuff. He's always been a social person.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he lost that for a while because, he was kind of isolated at home. But he goes on all their field trips and hangs out with all the ladies out there and stuff. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I don't know if I could adapt anything like that. Because even a real close friend of mine, he was in a really high-end assisted living and was in a wheelchair and everything. And they built a new home with ring-ups and everything. His wife died all of a sudden, and without her, he just couldn't function.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is the dining room's like going to a high-end restaurant, but you go up to his room, and it's so damn small.
Rooms out there are actually pretty nice. I mean, that's almost like having several rooms. He's got the kitchen and a dining room and his bedroom and stuff. It's actually kind of nice.
Wait a minute, he's got a kitchen,
a little kitchenette kind of thing. Yeah, he can cook and
see. Now Savages, they don't have that.
Really?
I don't think they do.
I don't know.
Huh? Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we visited Savages one time and it was happy hour time, and they asked me what I wanted, and I said, "Well, if you can find anything that's not a light beer, they wouldn't found one for me."
I haven't seen them in forever. I just grew up close to them, so
Well,
the boys.
I ran into young Tim at Randy's Roadhouse. We were talking to him, and the next time I see him, I'm going to say, "Tim, you're 55 years old. Will you quit calling me Mr. Reedy?" And because they all the Salish boys, it's always, hey, Mr. Reed.
Well, that's how you're raised. I usually say Mr. to everybody I know, too.
Yeah, but, I always tell people my dad's Mr. Reading. And I had the same problem with Carol Annette from the Historic Center. And she was on a podcast. And I said, Carol, will you quit calling me Mr. Reading? I said, okay, Mr. Reading.
Well, if I didn't know you, you'd be Mr. Reading to me, too. So.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I guess you were raised that way. But, I got guys in their 20s that call me Larry. Nancy's never called me Larry in her life.
Really? Yeah,
I'm red. Yeah. I mean, but anyway, so you came back from Carmel. What year was that?
You didn't remember? Like 4 years ago.
Really? So that's about the same time the liquor store opened.
I started working at the liquor store as soon as I came back, pretty much.
So they were,
They had been there for a couple of more years before that. Yeah.
5 or 6?
Almost 7, I think. They've been in the new.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having
fun.
Yeah,
it does fly, yeah.
Especially when you're drinking.
Sometimes that makes it slow down.
But, it still amazes me, the amount of product there.
Oh, yeah.
And the quality.
I know, because I've touched every one of them.
Yeah. And everyone, all the part-time help, I don't know how in the hell they got everybody to work there.
Oh, we got some good employees, good people. Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
It's a fun little family.
Yeah, it is. It's neat. And I don't know this. Does Terry spend any time in Brookville?
Does she? Yeah. She's with us just a couple days a week, and then and she goes there, too. Okay. So,
Because I haven't been there, but I'm sure it's about, less than half the size of the one in Batesville.
Oh, much less. Yeah. Much less than half, yeah.
But, wow.
Plus, she likes being in Batesville. Anyway, hanging out with people like me.
Yeah. Well, naturally.
Duh.
Yeah. And every time I go in, we talk for quite a while.
Yeah, that's right.
It was funny. I asked Joe yesterday. I picked up some prescriptions for Nansen and my blood thinner. Uh-huh. And Joe's the one pharmacist up there, and the other one's David Voss. And I say, hey, Joe, you want to be on a podcast? And no, he said, yes, Dave, and he's much bigger bullshitter than me. I said, well, we'll get along.
That's right.
So, and the funny thing is, when I was on the hospital, when I was vice president of the hospital board, David's uncle, Paul, worked for Blank, and he was also part-time at the hospital.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know he's at the hospital.
Yeah, and in fact, he's still one. I haven't seen him in a while, but once in a while, if they get in a bind, he'll come up and work at CBS.
Really?
Yeah. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Both are good guys. So what, I guess, when did you decide, when you came back, did you just say, I want to work at the liquor store? Were you thinking about doing something else? Or?
No. When we moved back, especially after working in that group home, there was a lot of stress. I tend to bring things home with me. My wife said, just find something I enjoy doing. Of course, I had been a customer of the store, knew some of the people there. And Kevin Mackey, my son's married to a Mackey, and he works there. Kevin does. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's a cool place to work. So I applied there right away and started out part-time. I was actually delivering for the office shop, too.
Okay.
For a little bit while I got acclimated there, and then now I'm the assistant manager and there all the time and loving it. And I think I found my forever home.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was in shock the first time I walked in there because it was Danner's. This was like a mini. Many everything type thing, a little bit of hardware, a little bit of everything. Yeah. And I'm thinking, what the hell are they going to do with
how are you going to fill that full of liquor? Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been in the back room, been in there a lot, and you either need sky hooks or shelf stretchers because it just
keeps we need more space. Yeah. They keep coming out with new stuff. You got to have it, you know.
And you know, I just want, and there's no room to expand though, is there?
No, not to expand. I mean, the only way to expand would be to go up, and that'd be kind of difficult with, you know, people limited in their size, their height.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
So,
Well, and it'd shoot the business down for quite a while, too.
Yeah. So you gotta, just gotta be selective on what you bring in and, you know,
and sell more.
Keep making. I do. I'm pretty magic on how I can keep making room.
Well, the one that killed me is when you unloaded the Tito's.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, my shoulder still hurts. It's a giant wall of Tito's there.
Oh, my God. So, but anyway, it's a fun place to go.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I was in there the other day, and this young guy said, he looked at my cart, which was kind of filled at the time, and he said, "Sir, could you help me out?" I said, "What?" He said, I want to buy a whiskey for a wedding." And he said, "What would you recommend?" And he said, you know, without breaking the bank. I said, "Well, if you really want a good bargain," I said, "there's this 1792 cask strength, but don't get that for yourself and then go get a Woodford Reserve and take to the wedding. Because, and don't put ice with that 1792. You just sip on it and do what you want with the Woodford Reserve. It'll be popular at the wedding." So thank you. Gave both bottles.
So, oh, yeah.
Well, so, and I didn't get a commission on that, by the way. So, I think last time I talked to Mike, he looks better than he has in a long time. His color's back and everything. He
a lot more energy. Seems to be doing real well. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good people. I enjoy being with them.
And so now you got to tell the audience about your hobby app, the beer.
The beer one?
Oh, yeah.
The Untapped?
Explain that to everybody and the numbers that you're at and your nearest competitor locally.
Well, it's called Untapped, and you check in all your beers. Some people leave notes, like Coach Heppner, who you're referring to as my close competitor.
Yeah.
He'll make notes on tasting, and you know where he's had it and everything else.
Do you make notes?
I rarely make notes.
Okay.
Yeah. I just check in every new beer I've had. You know, whether it's a festival or out at a restaurant, whatever, buying beers. But you check in all your beers. And I've had just over 2,800 different beers since 2015.
Since 2015?
Yeah, that's when I started keeping record.
Okay.
Yep.
So probably before that.
Oh, there was a lot more before that. But since then, it's almost 2,800.
Wow. And Eric has?
I think he's around 2,600 maybe now.
2,600.
Yeah. He still drinks a lot of beer. I do more bourbon now than beer. You know, trying to watch my figure.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'll tell you, if I put on weight, it all goes in my gut.
Yeah.
You know, I wish someone would go to my bony ass because some of these hard chairs I sit on it just drive me crazy.
Yeah.
But it just goes in my gut. And I probably, like tonight, when we do our whiskey and beer, our podcast tonight, will probably be as much beer as I drink the rest of the month.
Yeah.
Maybe I might drink one or two.
If I drink beer now, it's mainly light beer. I like going places where I can get like a flight and do just several ounces of a lot of different beers.
Yeah.
You know, because craft beer does have a lot of calories, a lot of sugar.
And you know, the thing is now when we're out to pool this summer, I'll usually drink a beer. And that's one of the few occasions I might drink a mixed drink. I might drink a margarita.
Yeah. I like a good margarita on the rocks.
Nice and refreshing.
Oh, yeah.
But they go down awful easy.
They go down real easy.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, most of the tequila is 80 proof.
And, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not
I like a good Bloody Mary too, my vodka and things. And
I like a Bloody Mary, but it's been years since I had it. Yeah. I always get the double Tabasco and get the what else do I get? I get double Tabasco and Worcestershire, Worcestershire.
Yeah, when I make mine, it's got the Worcestershire, the Tabasco. I use beef broth, V8.
Oh, I've never lime made juice. One.
No, for years, yeah. On Sunday mornings.
Really?
There's several of our football coaches, we get together at Coach Ebner's house, yeah. And we drink a pitcher or two of Bloody Marys.
Well, and I always, ready, so. And, you know, forget the celery. I like the olives.
Yeah.
You
know, oh, put some bacon in there.
Bacon? I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. And then actually, I use bourbon more than I do vodka now in mine.
And a Bloody Mary?
Oh, yeah. You make a Kentucky Bloody Mary, and then you put a bacon rim on top.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It adds a little sweetness to it, more, yeah. You know, more than you get with the vodka. Yeah. And
well, the vodka, I never really got into vodka.
Yeah, me neither. I mean,
I got so drunk on gin one time in the Army that I can't look gin in the eye. It's just, I was drinking out of water glasses.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Just nothing mixed yeah. or, and just.
Wow. Yeah, been, that would
being
do
a complete idiot.
So, yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah, so, but anyway, so, okay. So you found a home at the liquor store. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are you, 56?
Seven.
57, okay. So what do you want to be doing 10 years from now?
No, I'll probably still be working at the store.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, unless my wife retires, there's no way I'll retire. I get bored real easy. Okay. It's like we were just in Tennessee last week for a little end of tax season, little refreshing getaway and stuff, yeah. And we had to come back a day early because I got too bored. So
where'd you go? Gatlinburg?
Sevierville. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the crowds down there. So
yeah.
We just rent a cabin, got a nice outdoor fireplace, hot tub, indoor pool and stuff. We had to come home early.
Well, but you see, sometimes I used to think I'd get bored. Oh, well, I do get bored. I like to do different things, but boy, I like to relax too.
Yeah. Just not much into relaxing. Like I said, it'd be different if my wife retires, yeah. You know, then we can do stuff together again and stuff,
more
travel and, you know, we like putting out a big garden, things like that. Spending time outdoors.
Yeah. Nancy loved, she was putting gardens.
Oh yeah.
Time.
We do a lot. My father-in-law, we put a garden out with him. Yeah. And,
see, if I would have had my way, I would have had AstroTurf put in.
I love growing stuff. I have a big garden, and, you know, and I like eating it.
I like eating it.
Yeah.
I just never dreamed of planting anything.
Really? No, God, I love making pickles and sauces and
Well, Nance always, she always has the tomatoes still in the smaller the boxes and. But she used to have a big garden. She'd get out that big rototiller.
Oh, yeah, she did all the work. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nice.
And I'd sit there and clap, say, good job, Nance. Can't wait to eat some of that stuff.
I love doing stuff outdoors. So.
Yeah. And you know, my son Larry, he always does a garden. And, and the funny thing is, all of our kids, well, Nancy was always a great cook.
Uh-huh.
All of our kids really are good cooks. Yeah. The guys, too.
Oh, I love to cook. Yeah, I make most of our meals. I love to cook.
Really?
Yeah.
Does your wife like cooking?
Not as much as I do. No, she'll bake. She bakes real well. Every once in a while, she'll make a great meal. But majority of stuff, I do. I enjoy it, though. I grew up cooking.
Yeah.
My grandpa was a friend of G.C. Hillenbrand, so we go out to Wall Hill and make soups and sausages, you know, all the time. And I think that's where I fell in love with cooking. And then,
okay, so what's your favorite meal to cook?
I think I talked about that already. I love making my chicken livers, fried chicken livers and bacon grease.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then you take the liver and the bacon grease, then and you mix in a little flour and stuff, make some white gravy with that.
Yeah.
Put it over some fresh mashed potatoes with some fresh corn.
Well, the third Thursday of every month, we get together with Nancy's cousins, and we're going this month. One of my really favorite restaurants is Greyhound Tavern, mm-hmm. And I used to alternate once in a while getting their meatloaf is really good, But they have chicken livers served on a bed of mashed potatoes with onion and gravy. And I mean big, tender, a lot of chicken livers. And
I love them.
I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, my wife loves them too. So
and we went to some place, again, this was with the, this was with the nurses. We went to this place, Big Daddy's Barbecue or something. If you were taking the 74, the Colerain exit, instead of going to shopping center, go 7 miles the other way. And he had best calves liver ever in my life. And just a lot of it.
Liver and onions I love too.
And onions. In fact, it was so good. I very seldom do this. I gave the waitress a tip to take back to the cook because Nancy, she loves chicken livers, liverwurst. I said, how about some calf's liver? She will not cook it. She won't handle it. She thinks it's disgusting. Yeah. And I love it.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
So what else do you like to cook?
I like grill. I love to smoke meat.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like eating it anymore, but I love making it. And the kids love it, pulled pork and stuff. But I don't eat it much, but I love making it.
How about, have you ever make, stroganoff, beef stroganoff?
I have, yeah.
Because that's one of her dishes, and, I mean, she makes really a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
She just, she took, a couple days ago, homemade tacos we had some rotisserie chicken in the freezer, made a special sauce with the avocado, cilantro, and everything, Mexican cheese, and
I do like cooking Mexican. And my wife would make a great carnitas. She found a really nice recipe for carnitas. I like those.
Yeah, I did too. In fact, we went to this Mexican restaurant in Harrison, Valet something or other, and I don't know if you've ever been there.
Is that the one that you?
Ralph 74.
Yeah, I love that one. That's a really good restaurant.
I had carnitas and they were slow cooked. You just pull apart, refried beans. You know, pico de gallo, the whole thing. One of the best Mexican.
Oh yeah,
I like toros. I like the truck here, and the only Mexican here that I haven't tried is Blanco's Catering.
Oh yeah. We've had that. It's good.
Is it good?
Is
it more Mexican or more gringo?
More Mexican, but they do a lot of gringo stuff, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get regular. I mean, they do like a breakfast. That's pretty much regular breakfast.
Too. And you can pick up there, plus they cater.
Yeah. Yep.
And where are they? Is that old Sitterding's
building? Yeah, Maryland's. Their flower shop. Then it was Adam Israel's catering business for a while there, I think, and then
that's right.
Ramon bought it.
Yeah, Adam's on tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah,
that's gonna be fun.
Yeah,
he's good. You know, when I hit my birthday party there, I mean, I'm telling you, everything was perfect. We had two different dishes that you could go to. They didn't run out of anything. The bar, nobody had to wait on drinks or everything. 178 people.
Wow.
And everything went
nice.
Went well. And, I was waiting for my kids to offer to throw a birthday party for me. But I just threw it myself. So 10 years from now. Okay. And I think we talked about this on the Whiskey and Beer podcast, but some people don't even listen to that. Your bucket list.
I don't have a whole lot on my bucket list. I'd like to go to like Ireland, and go pub hopping in Ireland, mm-hmm. I've always thought about doing that. I once had a Fulbright scholarship to go to Greece and Rome that I turned down.
Really?
I kind of like to go to that area, maybe, But if I never do, big deal. I would like to travel America,
Yeah. My granddaughter Meg went to Greece, and she did this traveling nurse stint and made a lot of shekels.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so a group of nurses went over to Greece, and she just loves it.
Really?
She can't wait to go back there.
Yeah, I've always thought about going, you know, since I had the opportunity and didn't, but I don't know. I don't have a whole lot on my bucket list. I want to go play with my grandson, whatever, you know.
Well, the only thing, and we should have gone to maybe Germany and Ireland when we were younger.
Yeah.
The only, we did Paris, London, and spent some time over there. And the rest of it was islands, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm a really simple person. I mean, you know, I just hanging out at home with the kids and stuff is fine with me.
Yeah. Well, that's what we like that too, because we got so many of them and so many grandkids, and it's just nuts.
Yeah, I just got two so far. So.
So well, we've got seven great grandkids, but Larry's the grandpa of six of them.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
And he's 55.
He's 55. He's a little younger than I am.
So, how old are your kids?
Will's 29 and Patrick's 27, I think. Or maybe Will's going to be 30 next Monday.
So. Are they both married?
Yeah. Yeah. Will's married to Kelsey Mackey. Got a grandson, Luca. They're both in town here. Will's in nursing school. She's a nurse. Patrick lives in Muncie. He's a geologist, married to Bree.
A geologist?
Clark, yeah. Really? She's an architect. And then my granddaughter is Clark.
Okay. Now, the geologist, he's not teaching.
He's actually out doing studies, field studies. And
really?
Yeah.
All over the world or just
he's in Michigan a lot. He does like... if there's environmental issues and stuff, he'll go study the ground and everything to try to correct those. Like he was in, the place in Michigan with the bad water.
Rapid City?
No. Was it Rapid? Yeah. No. Flint. He was in Flint, Michigan for a while trying to work on that.
Yeah.
With that big train wreck in Ohio, he was there. So whenever there's issues.
With the train wreck, what happens when he goes there?
He has to go in and study the soils.
To make sure nothing's contaminated
and then
residents.
Work on correcting those problems. So
does he have to wear a hazmat suit?
Yeah, he's certified to all the nuclear and everything else.
Jesus.
So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's a pretty smart kid. I don't know where it came from. But
So I mean, this company, do they go all over the states?
His next assignment may be in Vegas, from what I understand, but he's been spending a lot of time in Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, in northern Indiana. But,
so it just comes home on the weekends? Or
When he travels, and then he'll be home for a week, you know, and catch up and stuff, and then he'll go back out on the road. He spends a lot of time on the road.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has to be a hell of a field to get into.
Yeah, it's pretty competitive, too, but he's done pretty well. I don't know how long he wants to do it. He's always talked about being a farmer, so I don't know.
Really?
They bought 25 acres up in Hartford City. So,
well, you know, when I had Joe Libras on, and for the audience, Joe was state cop, been in police all his life. That's what he eventually, I think, wants to do.
Really?
He's got 200 acres. He wants to.
Well, he wants to. Patrick, they just want to have like. A farm store.
Yeah.
Where he raises stuff, grows stuff, and then sells it right there. And, you know, so.
And you know what his wife is? So, she's a thoracic surgeon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I knew that. You said that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's, that you're dealing with aneurysms and all that critical stuff. I mean, my God.
Yeah. It's wild.
I'd like to have her on my podcast.
You should. Yeah.
I told him, Joe said, I said, hey, you want to come out for our beer and whiskey podcast, taste some frozen pizzas? And he said, I'd love to. What is it? And I told him, he said, well, he said, if my youngest son's T-ball game gets rained out, I'll be there. But if it doesn't, I'm at a T-ball game. But he's really a good guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they grew up close to my grandma and grandpa. They lived there for a while, yeah.
So, his dad died in that car wreck. 52 years old? Just unbelievable.
Yeah, life can be rough sometimes.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
No.
You just got to try to be a good person, because I sure in hell don't want to go where it's real hot. So.
No, I figure I'll spend most of my eternity in purgatory, so whatever.
See, I don't know. You know what? I don't. I drive Nancy crazy. I don't think there is a purgatory.
Don't you?
No.
Yeah.
I think there might be degrees of how you go to heaven.
Yeah.
And I think you have to be a pretty bad shithead to go to hell.
I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like if you look at the Ten Commandments. I don't think honoring your father and mother is the same as killing somebody.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Yeah,
and I can't imagine, like somebody like Hitler or Mao Zedong or Stalin, murdered millions of people at the last minute saying, hey, God, guess what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, you're in. Come on.
Yeah. I just don't know if that's going to come.
I don't know. Yeah. So, no, I think if you live a good life, treat everybody the way you want to be treated, you're going to be fine.
I agree. And I just hope, since our kids were all raised and everything, I hope I can make a difference in some people's lives. Yeah. And if you can do that, and not just family, other people.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So, I think that's
just treat everybody right. Life's a lot better if everybody just treats everybody right.
And advise people against buying bad whiskey.
Unless that's really what they want.
Okay. Well, anyway. We're pushing 45 minutes. How about suggesting to the young people that listen, like you got your education and you had your niche in life. And, I think a lot of kids today, they come out of school. I think too much pressure by parents. And maybe they change their mind and say, well, you got a degree in this and that. What do you advise kids that are in high school, that are preparing either for college or work life, out of college, just building trades or whatever it may be, what they should do with their lives and how they should...
As far as work, you just find something you really like doing, and don't feel pressure that you have to go to college to accomplish that. There's so many good trades out there, and don't feel pressure to go to college. And once you go to college, I don't know how many times I changed my major, how many times I went back, before I found something I want to do.
Yeah.
And you can't be afraid of that. I mean, you just gotta, but once you find something, man, if you find something you like, it's like they say, the old saying goes, you never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
Because you enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, I know that Batesville High School has a great ratio, 70-30, 70 college prep and 30 trades, service, anything else. But, I was kind of different when I went in business. I mean, people would always come up, especially when I went in the motorcycle business. They'd say, boy, you're really lucky. You like to ride motorcycles and that's your business. And I'd always say, yeah. If I could have sold rubber ducks and made more money, I would have been in a rubber duck business. Because to me, it was all about providing for a family, come home, never, ever talk about business.
Yeah.
Never. Once I hit the front door, never think about it. If I had problems, I'd get up early in the morning. Yeah. And I just, but it was a means to an end.
But that's the big thing, too. You can't be afraid to work. You got to enjoy working. I love to work.
Oh, I do, too.
I love getting up in the morning, going to work, and putting everything I got into it, before.
But, if I had a... Be a craftsman like Mike Spreckelson something, we'd probably be living in refrigerator boxes.
But that's obviously something he loves doing. And he's good at it,
He's good, but I mean...
And you like selling, obviously, so that's what you got into,
Yeah. I, I always looked at that as a challenge. And, but I think it's amazing that people, for instance, it's not so much the manufacturers, but it's the people that manufacture and create the robots for manufacturing. I mean, how in the hell smart can you get?
Yeah.
And, or the internet people, the app people, these guys are on a different level. My one grandson.
It's above my head.
Yeah. Aeronautical engineer and his girlfriend's an aeronautical engineer. This guy was, he was a National Merit Scholar, full ride Texas A&M. And his girlfriend, he said he's stupid next to her. So I'm thinking this may eventually lead to something big. Yeah. Instead of a marriage, like a merger of the minds or something.
Yeah, I think everybody's got their gifts, you know, their niche, and they find it. And that's
a lot of people like that are really nerds, but yeah. David, that's Carrie Yorn's and Julie's son, David got his black belt in adult karate when he was 15 years old.
Really?
Yeah. And we watched him. He had to fight 6 different black belts, and one was the dojo guy who was internationally famous. 6 of them, one at a time with a break. And David said, boy, said, do you see me land one? I forget on what the guy's name was. I said, David, you're just so lucky that super badass just didn't put you through a wall. Okay, well, anyway, I think we got to get ready for our whiskey and beer podcast. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And let's go out with the national anthem. Thanks again for Steve Ollier for being our guest. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. And I will talk to you on the next podcast.